There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore, so sweet by and by. We shall meet shore. We shall sing on the beautiful shore the melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirit shall sorrow no more, not a sigh for the blessings of rest in the sweet. Shall meet on that beautiful shore, so sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. To our bountiful Father above, we will offer a tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that all of our days. Sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore, so sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Morning. How are y'all doing? I expected you to say that. It's good to see all of you here. And before I have the message this morning, there have been a few folks that have been diligently at work over the past 4 weeks of our seminar. We've been in conjunction with the seminar doing the Bible correspondence course. And there was a challenge that was given at the beginning for those that wanted to double the amount of information that they wanted to learn, that the correspondence course would be a great way to do that. And there were many that started, but few that finished. And if you haven't finished yet, it's not too late. You can still finish those Bible studies up and get your diploma. But there are several people that have already finished the course, and we want to give them their diplomas this morning. So I've asked my benevolent wife here to go ahead and say the names of the people who are graduating. And when she calls your name out, if you wouldn't mind going ahead and coming on forward here, and then we're going to take a group picture. So listen for your name. You're going to get your diploma here in a minute.
The first one is Brandon Boyd.
Amen.
All right.
And Taylor Boyd.
Amen.
You might as well come up. Corey Boyd.
Corey here.
Oh, he's outside.
He's outside. Well.
William Eldridge.
Amen. There you go. Stay right here.
Marta Konsolka.
Marta, here she is.
Amen. Greg Muggleston.
There you go. Just go and stand right here. There he is.
Brittany Ross. You can come
Great.
On up front, Corey. And last but not least, Sherry Watson.
Brittany, there you go. And Corey. I've got Corey's. She's got yours. Sorry, a little bit of confusion here. Are you going to be able to get us all in? All right. So go ahead and stand on that side. All right. Thank you so much. Give him a hand. God bless. God bless you. God bless Greg. Now, just in case you're wondering, that's a lot of hard work. You know, they're coming out to the meetings every night, and they have to listen to me preach for an hour and a half. And then they got to go home and do 27 Bible studies. So that's a lot of hard work. And we wanted to acknowledge that. Now, again, if you've gotten, you know, quite a ways into the Bible correspondence course and you haven't quite finished yet, don't give up yet. Just continue to get those Bible studies done. You can hand them in to Pastor Ross, and we'll be sure to get you a diploma graduating you from the course. Today's been a good day, hasn't it? Amen. We could just say amen and go home, and we have been blessed. Amen?
Amen.
But if you will just persevere with me for a little while longer, I have a final message that I would like to share with you. And no, I won't be preaching for an hour and a half. But I do have a challenge that I want to share with those of you that have just made this step in baptism. And those of you that have already been baptized, I'm just going to let you in on a little bit of advice that I'm going to share with my friends who have been baptized this morning. And those of you that are still thinking about it, you heard the challenge that was given this morning by Pastor Ross. Don't delay, but go ahead and take that stand and talk with him or Pastor John Q, and make a date to make that commitment together with God. But before we begin this morning, I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray and have a brief word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the mighty blessing that we have received this morning. And Father, we ask that you will just tarry with us a little longer here in our time of worship, and that, Lord, as we open your word and as we read from it, that you will speak to our hearts, and that we will sense your conviction talking to us this morning. Father, we ask again for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit to be with us now as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to go with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 4, a very fitting Bible passage for our worship service this morning. Romans chapter 6. And we're going to begin in verse 4. Now, while you are turning there, what I'm going to share with you this morning is a little piece of advice that I believe if you put this piece of advice into practice in your life, I believe that you will be in the kingdom of heaven. How many of you like that kind of advice? Yes, that's the kind of advice that I want to hear. So I'm going to share with you a little piece of advice here that I believe is going to help us on our spiritual journey. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, the Bible says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." The Bible tells us that when we are baptized, that we have begun to walk in newness of life. Congratulations to those 13 people that were baptized this morning. You have begun to walk in newness of life. Amen? Amen? Now, those of you that have been walking this walk for a while have already experienced it. But the Bible says when we begin this experience together with God, going through the ordinance of baptism, that we are walking in newness of life. Now, I did a quick little search on the word walk or walking in the Bible, and you'll find that this analogy is used quite often to describe the Christian experience. Let me just give you a quick few passages here. Romans chapter 8 talks about walking not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, walking not as the fools, but as the wise. 2 John verse 4, walking in truth. Romans chapter 13, walking in honesty. And of course, we can't forget this one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. We talked about that a lot in our seminar. So the Bible uses this analogy of the Christian experience being a walking experience. And as I thought about this analogy of describing the Christian experience as walking, I thought to myself, this is a very fitting way to describe our Christian experience. Because when you think about it, when somebody walks, they are getting further away from something, but closer to something. Is that true? When you park your car in the Walmart parking lot and you close that door and you walk into the store, you're getting further away from your car and closer to the store. Vice versa, when you are coming out of the store and to your car. And friends, when you think about it this morning, that's really our experience. As we walk together with God, we are wanting to get further away from this world and closer to our loving Savior. Amen? But you know, there are risks in learning how to walk. How many of you remember when your child or grandchild first began to walk? How many of you remember that? The rest of you have already forgotten, haven't you? There's a few of you that are kind of like, oh yeah, I think I remember. I'm sure we all remember this experience that, you know, when Junior first learned how to walk or whatever, you know, it was a very exciting experience in the house. You know, the child, when you bring it home from the hospital, you have to kind of carry it around all over the place. And then before too long, I'm getting ready to kind of go through this whole experience myself. I'm looking forward to it. Before too long, you know, that baby, they learn how to roll over. And then you know Judgment Day is coming. They learn how to roll over, and then before too long, they're pushing themselves up, you know, and they're there on their hands and their knees. And then they learn the art of crawling, and they start crawling around, and no longer do they stay on that little, you know, blanket that you have there on the ground, and they start getting into things. And then that time comes when that child looks around and sees everybody else around me is walking on two, and I'm down here crawling around on four. Something's got to change here. And so they get over to the corner of that couch, and with their pudgy little fingers, they grab a hold of that couch, and they pull themselves up there on the corner of the couch, and there they stand. And you as a parent are standing there saying, no, this can't be happening so soon. No. What you do as a parent, you encourage them, don't you? You get excited. There they are. They pull themselves up, and you're like, come on, Johnny, you can let go. Come on, Susie, you can let go. Come on, you can do that. And then that time comes when they let go of that little security there of the couch, and there they are standing. What happens? What happens? They kind of wobble a little bit, and then they fall. That's why I believe babies wear diapers. I think my opinion's going to change here in a couple of months, but be that as it may. Now, when they fall, after they, you know, kind of have had that first sensation of holding themselves up on their two legs, when they finally fall that first time, do you say to that child, forget it, you're never going to get it, just stay down there on all fours? Is that what you say? No. What do you encourage them to do? Get back up and say, come on, you can do this. Get back up. And so they pull themselves back up again. They let go. They wobble. They fall. Come on, you can do this. They get back up again. They kind of let go and they wobble. And then they kind of pull that one foot off of the ground and they put the other one, they put it in front of themselves. And what happens? They've taken their first step, but they fall after they take that first step. And you continue to encourage them time and time again. Come on, get up. You can do this. And before too long, they're running around the house and you think to yourself, what have I done to myself? Getting into all kinds of things. But when you think about it, friends, learning how to walk, you take the risk that you might fall. That's right. The Bible tells us this morning that those of us have just gotten baptized, that we are walking in newness of life. And that as we begin this walking in newness of life, there is a risk that we are taking that we might just slip along the way. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the family of God, as church members here this morning, are you going to ridicule those who fall, or are you going to be a good parent and encourage them to get back up again? Amen. That wasn't a good enough amen. Are you going to encourage them to get back up again? Sure you are. You wouldn't ridicule a child when they fall down learning how to walk. You encourage them. Come on, you can get back up and do this again. And we must do the same to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as they begin this walking in newness of life. Now, the story doesn't stop there. Go with me to the book of Proverbs, if you would. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. This is a fantastic Bible passage. Proverbs 24 and verse 16, we're all aware of this passage. We've read it many times before. We've heard people quote it. Proverbs 24, verse 16. The Bible says this: "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." When you look at the righteous, or the just men, and the wicked, what do they have in common? Bible says that they both fall. That's right. But there is a stark difference between the just man and the unjust man with how they relate to the falling experience. The Bible says that when the just man falls, what does he do? He rises up again. But when the unjust man falls, the Bible says he falls into mischief. So the just man, when he slips along the way, when he falls, for the just man, his only option is to do what? Get back up. Now that word riseth is key in this Bible passage. Bible says the just man falls seven times and riseth up again. In the Hebrew, that word is defined as endure. What is it defined as? Endure. Mark chapter 13 and verse 13, Jesus tells us that he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's my piece of advice to you this morning? My piece of advice is this: that if you fall, get back up. The just man has no other option. When the just man slips along his journey, and let's be honest with ourselves this morning, we all slip every now and then, don't we? When the just man slips, when the just man falls, when the just man stumbles, the just man endures unto the end because he wants to see his Savior. The just man decides to get back up again. The just man realized that he was working under his own human power. He gets back up again in the strength of the Lord. He asks for forgiveness of that sin, and God raises him up and forgives him of that sin, and he walks again in newness of life. What's my piece of advice to you this morning, friends? If you fall, what is it? Get back up. Very simple piece of advice. If you fall, get back up. Now, whenever I find a spiritual concept, I try to find a story that kind of relates this experience. So I want to share with you a story in the Bible here. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 14, this is a great story. We've heard it many times in Sabbath school class and maybe as a children's story or maybe in a devotional reading. Great story here. Matthew chapter 12, we're going to pick the story up. Matthew chapter 14, sorry. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22. We're going to pick the story up in verse 22. And just prior to this experience that we're about to read, this story that we're about to read, just prior to this, Jesus has just performed a mighty miracle of feeding 5,000 people. How many of you would like to have had that fellowship meal? We're about to feed a couple hundred people here in the park in a few moments. Jesus fed 5,000 people from a very small amount of food, and people were very excited about Jesus' ability to provide for their physical needs, not only spiritually, but also physically. And at this pinnacle, at this kind of high experience, Jesus does this in verse 22. Shortly after he feeds the 5,000, it says this: "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side," while he did what to the multitude? He sent them away. They wanted to make him king. They wanted to set him up as an earthly king, but Jesus didn't come to establish his earthly kingdom, but his heavenly kingdom. Amen? Amen. And so he tells his disciples, get into the ship and go to the other side. Now, it was about a 3.5-mile journey. It should have taken them about an hour or so. He tells them to get into the boat, go to the other side, sends the multitude away. And the Bible says this in verse 23, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the wave, for the wind was contrary. How many of you remember the story when this similar situation happened, where the boat was in the middle of the sea and there was another storm that came up and arose up as they were there in the boat? And Jesus was there in the boat with them this time, but what was he doing this time? He was sleeping. Now, that experience happened before this story, okay? So there's Jesus. He's in the boat. He's sleeping, and there's this great tempest that arises. The wind is blowing. The waves are coming. The boat is rocking, and the disciples are afraid that they're going to lose their life. And they wake Jesus up, and they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Jesus stands up in the middle of that boat, and what does he say? Peace be still. Three words, and what happens to that storm? Stops. Were they amazed? Sure they were. Now you fast forward a little bit, and here's the disciples. They're in the same situation this time, but they can't see Jesus physically. You think they were afraid? Bible goes on and says this in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Does Jesus see when his people are in storms, yes or no? Have you ever felt like you've been in the storm in your life? Maybe it's not a physical rain and a physical sound of thunder and the physical waves that are getting ready to take your life. Maybe the storms of opposition come from friends or family. Maybe the storms of opposition are coming from your job. Maybe the storms of opposition are coming from your conscience, constantly smiting you, telling you that you need to make your life right with God. Jesus, friends, this morning, sees when his children are in storms, and he comes to their aid. There they are. They're in the midst of the storm, and Jesus comes unto them. This is just amazing. It goes on in verse 25. It says, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Do we need to be afraid when we're in the presence of Jesus? Of course not. Here they are. They're in the middle of the sea. The waves are blowing, and the wind is blowing. The waves are coming up on the boat. And there they are. They're afraid. They think they're going to lose their life. And then they see this mysterious figure walking on the water. How many of you would have liked to have been there? A little mixed emotion, huh? I don't want to be in the storm, but I would have loved to have seen Jesus walk on the water. So here he is. He's walking on water. Now let me ask you a question. Those of you that just got baptized, is it possible to walk on water? Humanly speaking, can you walk on water? When you put your foot in that baptistry, what happened? You went down into the water. You can't walk on water. Physically speaking, you cannot walk on water. But here Jesus is, the Son of God. He sees his children in distress, and he walks on the water to go and help them. Oh, this is a great story. Now, it doesn't stop there. Go on. Notice what it says in verse 28. And Peter, I like Peter. Peter says this. Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, what did he say? He said, come, the Bible says. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, what did he do? He walked on what? Water to see Jesus. How many of you would like to have been Peter? The rest of you that didn't raise your hand are lying. You would all like to have been Peter walking on water. Let's be honest. Here he is. He sees his master. He hears that voice. It is I. Be not afraid. And Jesus says, you know, peace be, or he says, it is I, not be not afraid. And Peter hears that voice and he says, oh, great, this is my master. This is Jesus. And so he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out and walk on the water with you. And Jesus says, what? What does he say? One word. One word. spoken by God, will give you the power to do what is humanly impossible. Amen. Let me tell you something this morning, friends. Humanly speaking, it is impossible to walk this Christian experience. Humanly speaking, you cannot, in your own human power, live up to the standard that God gives to us in His Word. You can't do it. Take my word of advice, if you wouldn't mind. You just can't do it on your own. But when you allow the living Word of God to take root into your hearts, and you live and tap into this divine source of power, Jesus, that vine, when you tap into that divine source of power, all of a sudden, what is humanly speaking is impossible is all of a sudden possible with God. With God, all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Let me ask you a question this morning. Tapping into Jesus, that source of power, can you walk in newness of life? Yes or no? You can. When you tap into that divine source of power, when you graft yourself into that vine, all of a sudden what was humanly impossible becomes possible because you are relying on the strength of Jesus. One word, Jesus said, come, and that water that would have destroyed Peter held him up as Peter walked on that water to go and see his master. Now the story doesn't end there, does it? Go on with me, verse 30, the Bible says this. But when he, that is Peter, when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, what did he say? Oh, Lord, save me. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, when Peter saw the wind boisterous, did Peter take his eyes off of Jesus? He did. Peter, when he stepped out of that boat, he was looking at his master. He was going to that one that he wanted to see. Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. Peter, come. And Peter steps out of that water. He's got his eyes fixed on his master. And as he's walking on that water, as he's doing the impossible, all of a sudden he gets distracted. And he sees the wind. He sees the waves. He feels that water underneath his feet. And he takes his eyes off of his master. And he begins to look at the problems around him. He begins to look at the storms of opposition. He begins to look at the trials all around him. And at that moment, Peter loses his footing and he slips down into the water. Let me tell you something this morning, friends. The same thing's going to happen to you if you take your eyes off of Jesus. When you begin to walk in newness of life, when you walk this impossible walk through the power of God, you will be tempted every now and then to take your eyes off of Jesus and to begin to look at the storms that are going on around you. Every now and then you'll be tempted to take your eyes off of Jesus and look at what is going on in your life and what people are saying and what people are doing and all those various things. And I'm going to suggest to you this morning that at the very moment you take your eyes off of Jesus, you will begin to feel your feet slipping out from underneath you. What does Jesus say? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. When we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, we have the ability to do the impossible. Amen? Amen? Now, when Peter slips in this water, what does he do? What did he say to Jesus? He said, Lord, what? He said, Lord, save me. Now, notice what the Bible says in the very next verse, verse 31. It says, and immediately, how quick? And immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Don't doubt the power of God in your life. As soon as Peter felt that he was slipping into that water, at that very moment, he realized that he could not help himself. Just like Peter could not bring himself back up on top of that water to walk on that water, you cannot put your feet, spiritually speaking, back up underneath you. And just like Peter cried to God and realized that he was the only one that was going to help him and said, Lord, save me, so you, if you feel your feet coming out from underneath you, need to follow the example of Peter and say, Lord, save me. Help me, for I cannot do it on my own. And the Bible says, how quick will Jesus come to your aid? 5 minutes later, right? The next day? How quick? How quick is immediately? Right away. As soon as the words come out of your mouth, Jesus will be there. He will stretch forth his hand just like he did to Peter. He will catch your hand and he will bring you back up and he will set your feet on solid ground and he will say, my son, let's walk back to the boat together. Amen? Immediately Jesus came and helped Peter, raised him up, and then gave him a little message. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Friends, put your faith in the Word of God. Put your faith in the solid Word of God, and you will be able to do the impossible. That one word that was spoken by Jesus, come, now we have the same power invested in these 66 books that we have been studying over the past 4 weeks. The same creative power that allowed Peter to walk on water is invested in this book here this morning, friends. The creative power of God's word will change your life and enable you to do what is humanly speaking impossible. Go with me to 1 Corinthians real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Now, this is for those of us that have been walking this walk for a while, maybe tempted to kind of feel a little self-righteous. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Remember always, friends, that you are not walking on water because of what you have done, but you are walking on water because of what he has done, what he has spoken, and what he is doing through you. You can only constantly surrender to God and keep your eyes fixed on him, and as you do that, God will perform that daily miracle in you of doing the impossible. Let me share with you another passage here. Two more passages in closing. Go with me to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7. Now, Micah is not one of those books that we go to very often, so I'll give you a second to get there. Go to Daniel, and then you'll see Hosea and Joel and Amos and Obadiah and then Jonah and then Micah. Micah chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 8. Micah chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 8. Now, if you're taking notes, put a big star next to this Bible passage because this is one that you're going to want to remember. Micah chapter 7 and verse 8. Just a fantastic passage of Scripture here. The Bible says this. Micah says, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Isn't that a great Bible passage? Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, what does the just man do? He gets back up again. He rises up. That's right. He endures unto the end because he wants that gift of salvation. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise again. Friend, this morning, if you feel that the storms of persecution in your life are taking your feet out from underneath you, if you sense that spiritually speaking, you are slipping and losing your footing along the way, if you sense at some point in time that you are not walking the way you used to, but now you are sitting and maybe not moving at all, say to the devil, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. The just man will endure unto the end and will get back up. Last passage. Go with me to the book of Jude. Jude verses 24 and 25. And this is the cherry on the cake. Jude verses 24 and 25. The book right before Revelation, the Bible says this. Listen carefully. The Bible says, "Now unto him." Let's back up and read this all together. Let's read verse 24 and 25 together. Ready? 1, 2, 3. "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Is it possible to walk without falling? Humanly speaking, no. But with God, is it possible? Yes. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Friends, this morning, keep your eyes on Jesus. Those of you that were just baptized this morning, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your gaze steadily fixed on him. Don't worry about what so-and-so is doing. Don't worry about such-and-such that's going on in your life. Don't worry about those crises that are happening or the difficulties that are coming. Don't get caught up with the things of this world. But keep your eyes on Jesus, and he will be the one who will keep you from falling. Amen. But if you slip, if you lose your footing, remember, what are you going to do? Get back up. Steps to Christ, page 64, says this: "We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus because of our shortcomings and mistakes." Listen. "But we are not to be discouraged. Even if we are overcome by the enemy, we are not cast off, not forsaken and rejected of God. No, Christ is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us." We shall often have to bow down and weep at the feet of Jesus. We shall often have to come to him and say, "Lord, I have failed. I've tried to do it on my own. I've tried to walk on my own, and I can't do it. Lord, forgive me." She says, listen, we're not cast off and rejected by God. No, Jesus is at the right hand of God making intercession for us. Same book, page 52, she says this: Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are. I meet people all the time who tell me, "Jason, Before I make that commitment to God, I gotta make myself better." And you know, oftentimes I tell these people, if you wait to make a commitment to God for you to make yourself better, you will never make that commitment to God. She says, Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, sinless, helpless, and dependent. We may come to him with all of our weaknesses, all of our follies, and our sinfulness, and fall at his feet in penitence. Don't we serve a wonderful Savior? He's not waiting for you to pick yourself up by your own bootstraps and wipe the dirt off. No, God wants you to come to him just as you are, just like that prodigal son left that pigsty behind, and all of the dirt and the filth that was associated with that, the torn garments, the unbathed body, the dirt on his face, the smell from the pigsty. He didn't clean himself up, but he came to the Father just as he was. And friends, tonight, this morning, just like that Father embraced that Son as he saw him coming down that aisle, as you come to Jesus just as you are, he will be there waiting to give you that embrace. He will be there waiting to help you. He will be there waiting to supply all of your needs. Come to him just as you are. Remember this morning, friends, if you slip, if you fall by the wayside, if you lose your footing, remember that the just man has one choice, and that is to get back up. I look forward to seeing you in the kingdom of heaven. Let's just persevere a little longer. You know, we don't have too much longer left here in this earth. You won't hear us making dates about the future of when Jesus is going to come. You will not hear us saying that it'll be at such and such a day or such and such an hour. But friends, I want to tell you this morning, the Bible tells us that the coming of God is sooner than we could ever imagine. And we just need to bear a little while longer. We need to just keep that gaze fixed on Jesus just a little while longer. We need to allow him to live out his life through us and in us just a little while longer. And as you continue to endure, as you continue to progress towards that mark of God's kingdom, God will sustain you. God will hold your hand. God will lead you along the way. He will lead you into that kingdom of heaven. And soon and very soon, we will sit in that new Jerusalem together with our Savior. And we will swap stories about the goodness of God in our lives. We will share in that experience of being in that heavenly Canaan. We will share in that experience of being immortal, eternal. We will share in that experience of being together with God. Just hold on a little while longer. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling. Keep your eyes on Jesus, friends. And soon you will walk through those gates and into his warm embrace. Father in heaven, we thank you for this wonderful time of worship that we have had together this morning. We thank you for our friends who have made that commitment to you in baptism and rebaptism. Father, please bless each one of us. As we go our various ways, we know the devil is waiting to discourage us, to distract us. But help us, Lord, to take what we have learned this morning and to apply it, to keep our eyes fixed on you, to allow you to be the one that keeps us from falling. And if we happen to slip, that we will get back up, that we will endure unto the end. Thank you, Father. Thank you for giving us this power. Help us to go in your strength and not ours. This we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. I'd like to invite those who have just been baptized, if you wouldn't mind making your way up to the front at this time. Those of you who are baptized, if you could come on up, I'd like to invite Jason as well as Midori to come up. And I'm going to ask you to stand right back here for just a moment. They look good, don't they?
Amen.
What we'd like to do at this time is we're going to ask a special word of prayer, asking God to bless them, that he continue to guide them in their lives and pour his spirit out upon them. And then following that, Midori is going to hand each of our baptismal candidates a baptismal certificate. We'd like to officially welcome them as part of the church family. We also have a little gift that we would like to give them. I'd like to also ask our pastors who are here and our church elders just to come up and join us for prayer. So, Pastor John Q, wherever you are, come on up. Also, our local church elders, if you'd please come up quickly, join us here in the front. We're going to kind of bunch in just a little bit so we can all get on the platform. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads, and those of us here on the platform, we are going to kneel. And Pastor Jason is going to offer a special word of prayer.
Father in heaven, we are so thankful for your grace and mercy that you have given to each one of us. Father, we are thankful that you are patient and long-suffering with us. And Lord, we thank you for each one who has made their commitment to you today in the watery grave. Father, we know that heaven is rejoicing right now. That God the Father is saying, this is my beloved son, this is my beloved daughter. I am well pleased in what they are doing. Father, we know that this morning the Holy Spirit has come down and has come into their hearts and into their lives. And Father, we ask that you will continue to allow that Spirit to guide them in their study of your word, to guide them in their relationship with you, to guide them in their obedience to your word. Father, thank you for their desire to stand up in the midst of a world that is compromising, in the midst of a world that is backpedaling, that our friends here this morning, those who have been baptized, have said, no, I want to take a stand. I want to stand on the solid rock of God's word, and I want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus and be baptized. Father, please draw near to them as they take these next few steps over the next few weeks and months, as they learn to walk and get their spiritual legs underneath them. Help them, Father, to constantly remember that you are the one that gives them the strength to do the impossible. Thank you, Father, for hearing and answering our prayer. And may we as a church here at Granite Bay, may we rally around our new babies and encourage them, strengthen them, uplift them in conversation, uplift them in prayer, and help them, Father, in any way that we possibly can. Use us as your family, I pray. Bless us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'd like to have Midori give each of you your baptismal certificate, and at the same time, I'm going to invite my wife to come forward, and we got a little gift that we would like to give all of those who are baptized. Inside the bag, you'll find a prayer journal and also a little DVD that you put into your computer, not your DVD player, but your computer. It's got three sets of Bible study guides on there. It's got a lot of video content on the Bible. It's got questions and answers. It's got some audio stuff, just a great resource for you to use. We encourage you to take a look at it and, once again, strengthen your faith in God's Word. Also, as a church family, we would like to officially welcome these folks who have been baptized as part of our church family. Those of you who would like to show your warm welcome, I invite you just to raise your hand. Amen. Welcome as part of our church family. I know that some of those up here will be becoming members at some neighboring churches. The rest will have their membership here at the Granite Bay Church. Now, I understand that we need to take a picture, and so once you've got your certificates, let's crowd right in here, and here's the man with the camera. We would like to get a picture of all of those who are baptized, and I want to also get in here, and Jason, why don't we stand over here as well? Thank you. You can go back to your seats. God bless each of you. If you have your songbooks, you can open to hymn number 422, Marching to Zion. If you don't have a songbook with you, you might need to share with the person sitting beside you. 422, Marching to Zion. Let's stand as we have our closing hymn. We that love the Lord. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Thank you for a wonderful blessing that you've given us this morning in witnessing people make that firm and that solid commitment to you. Oh, Father, we recommit our lives to you, and we do recognize that it's solely by your grace. Oh, Father, help us to hold on to you. Forgive us for our mistakes, our shortcomings, our sins. Oh, how we long to be more and more like Jesus. Keep working in our hearts, Father. Keep molding us and shaping us into the kind of people that you want us to be. Bless each person here today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. We'd like to again thank you for joining us here. Just a reminder, we do have a fellowship meal, and it's going to be over at the Griffith Park. It's over in Penryn. We do have some maps on the back table if you're not quite sure how to get there. Please pick up a map. If you brought some food for the fellowship lunch, if you have a pot of beans in the kitchen that you brought in this morning, please be sure to take it with you over there. We don't have enough cars to take it all in the same car. So if you brought some beans, if you'd be so kind as to take it out. I would also like to invite those who are baptized today, if you would please make your way out of the sanctuary at this point in time and stand in the foyer. I know some folks would like to shake your hand and congratulate you and welcome you officially into the family. So those of you who were baptized, if you wouldn't mind making your way out of the sanctuary right now, and you can stand there in the foyer. We'd like to shake your hand and welcome you as part of our church family. We do have our regular Wednesday night Bible study. It's going to be right here Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and then next Sabbath morning we will have Sabbath school starting at 9:30. And then at 11 o'clock, we will continue our study of the book of Revelation. We'll be looking at the next few verses in Revelation chapter 1. Hope to see you then. God bless.